This is DJ Noni here at Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. I'm in the studio with Penguin Radio's poet in residence, Kylie Walsh. Kylie, how are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you doing today?
I'm very well. Welcome to the studio. And we're just going to have a little talk about your trajectory in your poetry career and also what it was like for you to be poet in residence for Penguin Radio. And then you're going to lay some poems on us, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So our listeners would like to know, well, they'd like to know about you here at Dominican. What's your major? Who are you? What's happening? And then we'll go back to your past.
All right. So I've had a fantastic 3.5 years at Dominican. I am a senior right now. I'm actually graduating this semester. Very excited. I'm an English major with a creative writing emphasis. I've worked as a student ambassador on campus. I've been a resident advisor. I was lucky enough to get to study abroad at Oxford University last year, honor student, really involved in campus life.
That sounds like you've been very, very busy.
I have been. These last few years have just flown by. I've been so busy.
But it also sounds like a fulfilling busy.
Yes, very fulfilling.
I'm so glad to hear that. Well, we know what you've been doing for the last couple of years. Tell us, what made you interested in writing poetry? We'll start there.
When I was younger, I always knew I wanted to write. I didn't realize that so much until sixth grade. We had a class on poetry, and I just immediately fell in love. It was really awful poetry that I wrote. I think I was like, 11 or 12 years old. Really awful, really entertaining to go back and look at. But I've always known I wanted to get my voice heard through poetry, and I've been taking creative writing classes in high school, and I was really excited to get to major in writing here at Dominican.
So when you look back on your poems, you say, oh my goodness, I wrote that?
Yes, looking back at some of my old work, I was like, it's definitely been a journey. I mean, when you're young, you're reading Ezra Pound or, very formal poems with lots of structure and rhyme, and it's kind of hard to copy that when you're 12 years old and you're writing about things you don't really know fully about. But it's been really great to grow as a writer.
I want to jump off something that you said, that when you're younger, you didn't say it this way, but it sounded like this, that perhaps you might not have had as much life experience. And although you were reading some things, the life experience and the reading didn't quite match yet. So there was a growth process that you had to go through to find your voice.
Yes, finding my voice as a writer was definitely a process. When I started writing, I was in a very sheltered environment. I was 11 years old, really strong family life. So it wasn't until I was in high school and especially college and I was seeing more of the world and different things that were going on that I was really able to find what I wanted to write about.
And when you found what you wanted to write about, did you realize that you had a focus or a topic or a direction?
When I found what I wanted to write about, I knew I wanted to write about the woman's experience. I actually just finished my senior thesis, which is a collection of poetry about a girl coming of age and entering into womanhood. And I've always loved exploring the struggles and the triumphs that women go through.
Well, why don't we find out what some of those struggles and triumphs are that women have gone through, and perhaps even you have gone through, that are represented in your poetry. What would you like to share with us first?
So these poems I'm going to be sharing, they're all have something to do with love. I wanted to have a common theme for these poems. So this first poem is called Love in Transit. And with a lot of my poetry, I do draw my own personal experiences, but I also fictionalize a little bit, drawing on friends' experiences, other influences and stories. So this one is about running off to Paris for a week with a lover, but knowing you only have a week. So it's called Love in Transit. We are luggage laden, travel tired, in a country that is not ours, in a city that has embraced us as we embraced each other. We walk down thin streets we do not know and never learned the names of, to arrive at a once magnificent house. We sleep on a too thin mattress between too thin walls. At night, we leave all the windows open. I wonder if the rest of the world hears what love is supposed to sound like. We wake in the pre-dawn quiet. The golden light spreads our shadows across the floor until at last we are joined. We trace the river in and out of art museums, cafes, and these bodies. ever aware of the westward sun, holding hands but not eye contact, drunk on cheap good wine and paused promises, tripping on roads paved with cobblestones and good intentions, we both know where this will end. A week later, we wait in the metro station, suitcases in hand, he kisses me for the last time on foreign soil, the unknown language surrounds us, relentless commuters push on past, we cannot hold each other there much longer. I am silent as the tunnel shakes, the curved passageways brighten as his train arrives. I wonder what it's like to know where you are headed. I wonder how I'm expected to navigate the city of lights without him. When the doors to his train close, I'm already gone. No backward glance. I know he could not watch me leave.
Tender. How do you feel after you've read a poem like that?
Oh, I always... It's very cathartic. It's... finding a way to get out emotions that I sometimes struggle with to express. You can ask some of my friends about this. Reading a poem, it's wonderful to get to share emotions and hopefully find someone who connects with those emotions.
The whole poem was about a journey in and of itself, but you go on an emotional journey.
Yes, the poem is definitely about a journey physically and emotionally.
Well, this is Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. We're here with Kylie Walsh, our poet in residence. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back momentarily. We are back. This is DJ Noni, radio.dominican.edu. Here at Penguin Radio, I'm in the studio with our poet in residence, Kylie Walsh. Welcome back, Kylie.
Thank you.
So now we're going to transition into a place where we look at Kylie's creative process.
So my creative process whenever I'm writing a poem can be a little tricky. Usually I will see something or have a feeling or read a story and I was like, wow, I really want to write a poem about that. And I'll start developing lines and ideas, and then I'll go and sit down and write it out. And sometimes I'll just have a line come to me, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to get this out right away. And I sit down and I scribble furiously, and then afterwards I'm like, okay, let's go back. Let's read what we've got out on this page. Let's try to get it a little more polished. Editing takes just as long as writing, but it's very difficult to be like, I'm going to write a poem today, and sit down and write it.
Do you ever write a poem, have inspiration, write a poem, get it out on paper, and then days, weeks, months, maybe even years later, go back and say, I think I want to make an adjustment on that poem.
I constantly revisit old work and edit it, so it's hardly even recognizable as that old poem. For my thesis, for example, I was going back through old work looking at some old themes, and I found a couple poems that I was like, this is a really great starting place, and I think there'd be like maybe one original stanza, but everything else has been reworked. And it's really great seeing that growth as a writer and being able to incorporate old work into the new.
That must feel good to be able to take your work and recreate it.
It definitely feels really good.
Let's hear another piece of your work. Tell us about your next poem, and then we'll have you read it.
So this poem is called Falling Out of Love. You hear a lot of love poems, I've noticed, and they're really beautiful and, you know, they make you feel warm and fuzzy inside, but sometimes relationships don't work out. And I decided to write a poem about the times I have fallen out of love. The first time I ever fell out of love was during autumn's quiet. I wonder if trees felt guilty for the falling leaves, how they accepted the decay each passing year, if they stared at springtime buds knowing what the future holds. The second time I fell out of love was in the torrid heat of late summer. We kept each other warm all winter, but set each other aflame as the temperature rose. In the months that followed, the smoke lingered in the back of my throat. The third time I fell out of love, I had never fully fallen in. In the height of spring, I blossomed quickly, then wilted. The next spring, I let myself put down roots, already aware of the drought that would worsen in the coming months. Is it better to die from thirst or drowning? The fourth time I fell out of love was during the final days of winter. Another snowstorm was on the way. We had battered down the windows and lit every candle we owned. When the wind arrived, we sat in the near dark until the candles spurted out one by one.
If you were to describe the style of your poetry, what would you say it is?
I would say that the style of my poetry is almost conversational. I want my readers and my listeners to be able to pick out lines and stanzas and be able to, first of all, know what I'm saying and then connect with it. I think I rely on a lot of metaphors and imagery to get my point across without having it overpower the work.
Do you keep a word journal, metaphor journal, or writing journal?
I keep a writing journal. I actually have probably 6 now. It drives my parents crazy when I come home with a new notebook. And they're like, you already have so many, and they're all half empty. So sometimes I have this one journal that's just for perfect work. Only the final versions can go in that one. I have a couple others where I will scribble in them all day, writing out metaphors, lines, a rough draft. I'm trying to write down any idea that I come up with.
Do you have a specific physical place that is one of those areas that really inspires writing, or do you get inspired anywhere you are?
I don't necessarily get inspired anywhere. I find it really hard to, for example, writing in the campus library is next to impossible. So usually when I'm writing, it's in a quiet space. It's in a space that's mine, whether that's my kitchen, on my bed, curled up in my living room chair. I need to be totally secure in my surroundings in order to let myself be vulnerable enough to write poetry.
We are back here, radio.dominican.edu. This is DJ Noni with Kylie Walsh, poet in residence. So just a moment ago, we were talking about the location that you might be in. Is it inspiring to write? And Kylie was mentioning that the library isn't necessarily so easy to write in, but when she's at home, curled up on her bed, or in a quiet place, that the inspiration is easier to come. So my next question for you, Kylie, is as poet in residence, you were required to write a poem per week and you had a Friday deadline each week. What was it like to write with a deadline?
As poet in residence, having a weekly deadline for a poem was fairly new to me. As a student, I'm used to deadlines. I can usually sit down, get all my research out of the way, and write the essay that I need to. For a poem, it's kind of hard to do. I was quite proud to meet all of my deadlines with some room to spare occasionally. But making sure I was writing was the most important part. I wrote a lot during the semester. Most of it didn't get into these poems, but it's just making sure that you're getting out the work, good and bad, usually bad. And then every now and then you find a really great line. You're like, I'm going to use that. I'm going to incorporate that. Luckily for me, it was a pretty eventful semester. A lot going on in my life and politics. I just got back from a semester abroad not too long ago, so I still had a lot of ideas for inspiration. I'm also graduating soon, so the real world is looming closer and closer. So I did have a lot of material to pull from.
Great. And it can be difficult for writers to pull it all together in those deadlines. But there are many writers out there that say, as long as they're writing sometime during the day consistently, it keeps the brain and the writing lubricated.
Yeah. I did try to have a goal of I'm going to write every day. That didn't quite happen. I was writing every week, maybe every other day or every other third day. Some days I would write for an hour. Other days I would write for 4. So it just depended where I was at emotionally, if I had any essays or reading due for my classes. I also have a job and, you know, hopefully a social life sometimes. So trying to balance everything can be a bit of a challenge as a writer.
I bet it can. Well, why don't we go into your next poem? This will be poem number 3 for this broadcast. So tell us what the poem is, how it was inspired, and then lay it on us.
Okay, so this poem is called Catholic Guilt. I do come from a religious background, and I often use religious images and allegories within my work, so I like to draw on my own experiences. I'm not going to introduce this poem too much, though. I do not remember the first time I kissed a boy. I remember I thought I was going to hell. I remember his name, Connor. We must have been 13. He had dark eyes and darker hair. I was scared of his older sister. His mother's tongue was thick with vowels, but I tried my best to understand when she called me love. Like it was a commandment, not a calling. If only she knew how well I would. We were supposed to get married, because when you're 13, you believe that you will always love the same boy who never made fun of your glasses and knew all his prayers, while Sister Carlotta waxed your knuckles for laughing at dirty jokes and kissing in the lunch line. When I was 12, we were no longer allowed to hold hands during the Our Father, so we could keep our minds on God. The first time I kissed a girl, I was 20. Her name was Maria, with dark eyes and darker hair that covered her breasts in gentle waves. We were tipsy off mimosas and vodka shots. Her hand on my waist, I turned. Her mouth on mine, lips parting like the Red Sea, our tongues like the tide, ebbing slowly, refusing to dart serpent-like down throats. We will always be softer than sin, determined to memorize these bodies before we crumble like the pillars of salt we are destined to become. Her hand resting on the curve of my back, like a priest lowering me into baptismal waters, mine tangled up in her hair like Adam with Eve when he took her from God. Come out, Maria declared, like Moses drawing water from the rock. Neither had asked God for permission. Moses was banned from the Holy Land. Punishment for independence. How far must I wander from mine? Our Father, who art in heaven, can you hear me call your name? Father, I have sinned, have loved both beings you created. Father, you formed me from a rib, blew your breath into my lungs. Do not forsake me now. I'm not asking for your permission to love her, just a promise that you'll still love me if I do.
Metaphor upon metaphor, words intertwining, and such an emotional story.
Thank you.
Tell us where this came from.
Like I said, I come from a very religious background and, you know, it's very loving community, but it's not always the most progressive community. And when I realized I was bisexual, I was like, how can I reconcile this with my faith? So I wrote a poem about it. And I mean, I'm still trying to navigate that line, but I think it's a great poem to share with people who also might be struggling with not conforming into their faith life as they are expected to.
I love how a poem can be full of multiple truths and that it is not hidden for certain. Your words are explicit.
Thank you.
But there is a softness to it that is not jamming or pressing or proclaiming, but claiming.
Yes. Whenever I write a poem that could be labeled political, for example, the poems I read at Soul Candy, it's about feminism and dating and masculinity and, you know, the struggles that come with all those topics. I use humor because I have written some really angry poems where I'm just, you know, bashing on people and groups and ideas, and they don't work. They work to get the anger out and they worked as a process, but nobody wants to hear a poem where I'm yelling at you for, you know, 2 minutes. So I try to make it soft. I try to make it funny. I try to make it more accessible because we have so much anger already and anger isn't really getting us anywhere. We need to find that common ground. We need to open the doors a little bit more.
So even though there is anger and seething, you found a way to communicate it so it isn't so bashing.
Yeah, I found that anger definitely does have a place in my work. And part of healing processes, whenever like you're hurt, like, I mean, I've written some really awful breakup poems, but that's what I needed at the time. And then I was able to write better poems about the situation. And I've found that people just respond better to my poems when they're not full of anger.
We are back here at Penguin Radio. This is DJ Noni. We're here with Kylie Walsh, our poet in residence. Why don't we find out what your final poem for this compilation series is? Tell us as much as you'd like about it, and then we'd love to hear it.
This poem is called Ode to My Brown-Eyed Girl, and it's about a very dear friend of mine, and I just see her struggling to be the best that she can be and trying to live up to all these expectations. So I wrote her a poem. I wake in the quiet dark, in between the middle of the night's abyss and dawn's rose gold. We left the window open, not caring if the neighbors heard what love is supposed to sound like. Autumn comes shyly this year, advancing only in the dark. The trees wear less and less each morning. I kiss your shivering skin. You are soft but firm to touch. Still a slumber, you pull me closer to you. Hours later, I awake to your singing and the smell of fresh coffee drifting in from the kitchen. When I enter, you are still naked and glorious. The light catches your eyes. The color is somewhere between the earth after it rains and the whiskey we drank the night before. I wonder, if I kiss you in the daylight, will you burn the back of my throat? Will the warmth spread down to my toes? When we first met, you let me decide what name to call you. I hope someday you grow into who you are supposed to be and sink your roots in deep. To let the birds build nests in your springtime branches, have summer lovers rest in your shade, let leaves come and go in the autumn, and when you are stripped down to only your bark in the winter, I'll be there to keep you warm.
The imagery is so solid, and I could feel like I was in the room or in that place with you, and I could taste the whiskey and feel my throat burning.
Thank you.
You really have a skill with bringing imagery to life. How does that feel for you when you're reading it and you can feel it right there?
When I'm reading a poem and I feel like I'm in that instant or in that moment, it just feels amazing, because then I know my audience will be able to also feel what I'm feeling. And I always want my poetry to be accessible. I shared some poems with the friend who's featured in that poem, and she just said, like, that's exactly what I needed that instant. She's going through a rough time every now and then, so she's like, I want you to send me a copy of those poems so I can read it when I need it. And that's what I strive for as a writer.
It sounds like you're fulfilling your own destiny.
Thank you.
So can you imagine what your future might be looking like as a poet and as a writer?
So as a poet and as a writer, I want to keep writing and I want to keep sharing my work and finding venues for that. I'm nearing graduation. I have like about 3 weeks now, I think is what it is. And I want to find a community of writers wherever I end up. I want to share my work. I want to hopefully be published. I'm working on a manuscript and I'm just learning all the hoops I have to jump through to get that published. Going to open mic events, hopefully finding another residency program or just writer's retreats where I can go and work on my craft.
Those are all very attainable sounding goals and dreams.
I have found that in order to obtain a goal, I need to write a list of the steps I need to take to reach that goal. So I'm very excited.
If you write it down, it will become.
Yes.
Are there any words of experience or words of wisdom that you might share with young budding writers, someone who is 11 years old right now, male, female, heterosexual, bisexual, transgender, any, you know, black, white, all of that? What words would you have for someone as a budding poet?
As a budding poet or just a budding writer in general, know that we need your words, especially now. I have found that poetry and writing speaks so much more truth than any news story or argument can, and we need more artists. And just keep writing. Find what you're good at. I mean, I dabbled in novel writing, which didn't go very well, so then I was like, maybe I can do short story, and that wasn't working either, so I was like, I need to stick with poetry. That's what I know, that's what I'm good at, that's how I can reach the most people I can. So find your craft. Write what you know, and if you don't like what you know, go find something else to know. You know, just keep learning, keep reading. The best advice I ever got from a writing teacher was be a great reader of great writers.
That was Kylie Walsh, Penguin Radio's Poet in Residence, Fall 2016, Dominican University of California. Kylie, thanks for coming on Penguin Radio.
Thank you very much.
All right, listeners, you heard it here. Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu.